The 82-game preseason is in the books, and it's finally time for the real season. Don't miss out on any of the NBA playoff action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. From the play-in tournament through the finals, DraftKings Sportsbook has you covered. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code SMASH. New customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets instantly. That's code SMASH, only on DraftKings. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia. Visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 and over, age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
Hello and welcome to a brand new post-trade deadline pre-Bucks game edition of the Step Over Podcast. I am Jim Adair. With me as always is Max Rappaport. Max, how you doing?
Doing great, Jim.
Max, after a long and winding road of the past week and a half, roughly, when trade talk started heating up and for a while some people were asking for certain things. I was asking for just a teeny tiny bit of Davis Bertans, and I was shut out. But people were clamoring for the return of one of the Sixers' is recent greats. Maybe trade for a Jrue Holiday if you could. Find a way to bring J.J. Redick back. Covington's right there to be traded. And you know what? They got what they wanted. They got a returning Sixers great, Glenn Robinson III, baby. Hell yeah. If you were somehow listening to this and did not know of the two deals that were made earlier today for the Sixers, they acquired Alec Burks and Glenn Robinson III from the Golden State Warriors for 3 seconds, none of which are their own, a 2020 Mavs, 2021 Nuggets, 2022 Raptors, and then they traded James Ennis to the Orlando Magic for a 2020 Lakers second, and then because of having one too many men on the roster at the moment, they waived Trey Burke, and that is all the moves that the Sixers have done as of this recording. Max, how do you feel?
Honestly, I mean, I would have liked to, I don't know, I guess I would have liked to see something bigger. I think the thing I'm most disappointed in is that they weren't able to turn Mike Scott, and I don't even know what the asset would be because I don't want to get rid of Zaire Smith, but like Mike Scott and maybe one of their high seconds to get a better version of Mike Scott for the rest of the season. Yeah. Or to swap Kyle O'Quinn to a team that needed a center for a player who's can play power forward or play on the wing, right, as a backup. Other than that, I'm really happy with the Warriors trade. Like, that went about as well as you could imagine. Like, I don't really understand it from the Warriors' perspective. Like, I know that they're where the Sixers were a few years ago, where it's like they don't need a guy who's putting up 16 a game, and they're basically just like clearing the decks to tank the rest of the year. But
they have like years and years of just giving all their picks away.
Yeah.
So just replenishing.
I thought they could have done better, though. Like,
I'm sure
if I'm them, like, to get both those guys, I thought to get both of them, you would have to give up at least one of those early seconds. Even if that's the only thing you gave up. I mean, these 3 seconds, I don't even care because they were going to sell them anyway. Like,
right.
The Dallas pick this year is what, going to be like 20 something? Early 20s. The Denver pick should be low or should be late in the second, and the Toronto pick in 2022, like best case, that's like the 10th pick in the second round, and that's if things go really poorly in Toronto, which it seems like they're not. So I'm totally fine with that. I like both those players. I actually really like Glenn Robinson. I think Alec Burks gives them something they really were lacking, but at the same time, like, is he that much better than Trey Burke? Honestly, like. Is he that much of an upgrade over some of the guys they have now, or Korkmaz, or whoever's minutes he's going to be taking, or even Ennis, who they just traded?
It seems like these two moves, essentially, what they did is they netted a pick back. So they say they traded out 2 seconds, and in their minds, probably got an upgraded Trey Burke and an upgraded James Ennis. That's essentially what they did. Guys who can be better three-point shooters can hopefully fit in better and do this and do that and not kind of follow the rotation, but they still have guys on the roster who aren't playing in Kyle O'Quinn and Jonah Bolden specifically. I would guess that once it gets closer to the buyout period and people are looking at those guys, you could have both of those guys dumped. And then pick up a guy on the buyout market or one of those guys dumped and pick up Norville Pell, give him his NBA contract. So I don't think this is their set roster for the rest of the year. They'll probably do something like that, but trading's obviously done. Just for context, if anyone cares, the three picks that were sent out, so the 2020 Mav second is the one that was acquired originally as a fake first in the Nerlens for Bogut, Justin Anderson, and a pick deal. The 2021 second was actually bought. That trade was Wilson Chandler and a second to the Sixers for cash. And the 2022 Raptors second was Malachi Richardson, pick, the draft rights to Emir Preslik, and cash in exchange for cash. And then the pick that the Sixers got back from Orlando was the 2020 Lakers second, which was traded just in the last draft to get the 46 pick, which the Lakers used to take Talen Horton Tucker. So that's where those picks all came from. Do you think this is enough, Max, to... Well, I mean, I'm not even going to ask that as a question because I'm just say it as a statement. This is not enough to turn the team around because as my dad texted me, he's like, how do you feel about the picks? I'm like, they're good. But the biggest thing this team needs to do right now is just figure shit out, which we've been saying for a couple of episodes here when talking about it would be a very different conversation if the team had the record they did and their home and road records are basically the same, right?
Yeah.
It would be a very... I think if that were the case, you would have seen probably a more likely move by Elton Brand to maybe say, well, fuck it, I got it wrong. Let's try to trade Al Horford. Though at the to put that aside, that was mentioned on the special of The Jump today, and Brian Windhorst in the background said basically no one wanted to pay that price. So I don't know how many people offered, what the offer was, whatever. But if that were the case and you're like, okay, this is the team we are, you know, we are a sixth seed all the time, but they're not a 6 seed all the time. They're like the greatest team in the NBA when they're at home. And that's incredibly infuriating, as we talked about last time. And I think if that weren't the case and you weren't seeing the tale of two teams like we talked about, there probably would have been maybe a bigger move to say, like, listen, we're just not cutting it with the team we have. We need this jump. But we've seen them cut it with the team they have just only half the time. So for them to really turn this around, I think they need to just get their shit together as it currently sits. I don't like the fit of Al Horford in that starting lineup or on the team in general, honestly. But that's the team they have right now, and they got to do their best to make it work because it works at fucking home somehow. So you got to make it work all the time. And part of that is it also came out today that there was a players-only meeting yesterday. Love that terrifying three-word phrase, players-only meeting. And it was apparently either instigated or led or whatever by Josh Richardson. And from what I understand from reports I've seen, the argument was basically, we got to figure this shit out. It's on us. We're the team, blah, blah, blah. But then the emphasis is more or less put on Simmons and Embiid, saying, like, this is your guys' team. Like, we play on your team. So, like, they got to step it up or play together better or work better together or figure something out. But I don't think he's wrong about that. But I think that's more important to the future of this team than, you know, a couple of bench wings.
Yeah. No, I totally agree. You know, and I think maybe the thing that could be more important than these trades is, like, who ends up being on the buyout market and whether they're able to scoop up one of those guys. Like, if Tyler Johnson or Tristan Thompson or
Isaiah, you know, Thompson. Like, Thompsons or Johnsons. I realize I said that because I was thrown off. Any Thompsons or Thomases or Johnsons or Jamases are out there. If you can pull a Jamas out of here, you're in great shape.
Would you take Evan Turner back if he gets bought out?
No.
I actually feel like he'd be kind of nice.
I don't know, man.
For what they need. They definitely still need a ball handler. Like, you look at the roster, and as long as Josh Richardson's out, your only guys who can handle the ball are Simmons, Neto, and maybe Shake Milton.
Right, but how well could Evan Turner handle the ball? I feel like we've been having this conversation since his rookie year where he's a ball handler in, like, abstract only.
That's true.
You know?
I mean, I saw, like, Reggie Jackson is a possible buyout. Yeah. That would be, I think, really nice.
Darren Collison probably said his most recent update was that he's 50-50 on coming back. The word seems to be that if he does come back, it'll be to one of the LA teams. Yeah, I don't know. For a second there, after Shams had tweeted that James Ennis was traded to Orlando and then immediately deleted the tweet, and I was like, what the fuck's going on here? I don't know why he deleted the tweet, but... I was thinking to myself, I'm like, oh man, is it like, did he tweet too early? Is it part of a bigger deal? Is it like,
yeah,
I think Patrick Waugh, she was like, do you think it's like a bigger package for like Evan Fournier? And I was like, no. But I went back, like, all my tweets going back to like 2013 where I'm like, give me Evan Fournier on the Sixers. So that would have been nice. But yeah, I mean, this was, I said to again, our friend Patrick Wall, I think yesterday, like, the moves I see them making are these moves in the margins. Didn't think they were going to make any big splash. I did think they were probably going to move Mike Scott in a pick or Mike Scott and Zaire in a pick or something for something a little bit bigger. But, you know, maybe it didn't seem like maybe there was much interest there. So we'll see how it all works out, you know. This isn't enough to, like, really pull them out of the funk they've been in. But that's not
They need to
on...
pull themselves out of the funk. It's exactly. not going to be that's not on they're going to trade for.
Right. It's not on Little Dog and Alec Burks, you know. Should note now, so is it that Glenn Robinson III was a Sixer? Was he a Sixer before anybody else who's currently on this team?
Was he before Embiid?
I think he was before Embiid played.
He may have been the 2013 season, in which case.
I think he was 15.
Let me look.
I remember being at a game where he.
It was 2014-15, so he played before Embiid, but was on the team at the same time as Embiid.
I remember there was a game I was at where it was right after he had started playing for the Sixers because he only had a 10-game contract. And he played 10 games, but he was in the dunk line, like the warm-up line, and he had warm-up pants on, and he went through a behind or a between the legs dunk, and when he did that, he unclipped his pants and they fell on the ground and he almost tripped. So I remember that. Yeah. He was 21 years old. So yeah.
He's still nice. He's still got some time to develop. He's 26.
He's younger than Norval Pell. I know I said that about a lot of people, but he's younger than Norval Pell. Because Norval Pell just turned 27. Happy birthday, Norval Pell. So yeah. Not super exciting deadline.
I feel okay, though.
I feel perfectly fine. They didn't fuck anything up, which I was worried about. Any notes you want to make about around the league stuff, deals that you saw before we take a couple of questions?
I mean, can we talk about the Wiggins deal?
Yeah, sure.
I mean, I guess I just don't understand it. I know that's like everyone's reaction, but I just don't get why the Warriors would take on that salary when they're like seemingly they're in a position where they're going to. I guess they don't have a lot of flexibility because of the amount of money guys in their roster are making. But like, you have those three guys. You have Dre, Clay, and Steph, and you kind of just go from there and like move things around as needed. You have a lot of salary to work with in terms of like making trades work. I just don't know why you would take on Andrew Wiggins at
right.
like $100 billion over the next 3 years. And yeah, the pick I don't think is going to be anything special.
Wiggins is one of those Evan Turner guys, right? Where I think because of where he was picked and because of what he was projected as, a lot of people look at him and still see that projection and not the player that he is. No matter what the contract is, and the idea is still like, we can fix him. We'll make him that. You know, he's only not that because other people have failed him. We could fix him. We're so great. You know what? Maybe the Warriors can do that. The Warriors are unreal with this, the same way the Spurs are. But he's not very good. And I don't know how he doesn't fit their players. Doesn't fit a lot of teams where they actually have established roles for good players around them. And also, I mean, the Wolves, did they really get that much better?
No.
No.
I mean, I don't really know what they're doing either.
Not in the Covington deal either, yeah.
I mean, they at least got out of Wiggins' contract, but...
They're doing to Towns what they did to Kevin Love for years.
Yep.
Yeah.
And to Garnett before that.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Any other deals you want to talk about? You want to talk about Skal Labissiere going somewhere? I forget where he went.
I thought an interesting one was Iguodala to the Heat. I think the
that
Heat
was
are going to...
That's just a... That's,
it's weird, yeah. and So he's 36 now?
Yeah.
Yeah, he just turned 36 9 days ago. Happy birthday, Andre. But yeah, they signed him to a two-year extension past this year for $30 million total, which, I mean, I think the Heat are going to be really good this year and probably next year too. So I'm pretty excited about them. It kind of sucks that I think it adds another team to the East that I'm not as worried about the Pacers. I'm not as worried about the Celtics, but like, think that Heat team actually could beat us in a seven-game series, unfortunately.
Dude, when there was talk about maybe them possibly throwing Gallinari and getting Gallinari in there too, I was about to just fucking call it a season. That would have sucked. They're still very good. Yeah, because that team is built the way the Sixers should be built around. So they built around Jimmy Butler, or they have the team around Jimmy Butler, the way that it should be built around Simmons and Embiid, which is just guys who just don't stop shooting the ball, and they shoot it really well. And I know that's hard to do, and that's why not every team is built that exact way, but like, I'm very envious of the way that that team is structured around their, around basically Bam and Butler. The way that team is structured around them is very, very appealing. Yeah, that's, you know, Dwayne Dedmon is a Hawk again for some reason. A weird deal. Yeah, strange day, generally. A lot of small stuff. Andre Drummond is in Cleveland. Poor Andre
That's
Drummond.
A weird one.
It's a weird one.
Yeah.
I don't know, man.
What was the other one that... I was surprised that Tyler Johnson didn't get traded from the Suns.
Yeah.
Decent player. They don't really need him. He's on a $19 million expiring.
Suns didn't do anything today.
They didn't do anything. And it's, I was surprised. I feel like the Warriors were the only team I feel like that really went all in on what the Sixers did, you know, when they were rebuilding, which is just like, yeah, we don't need Thad Young, Evan Turner, and Spencer Hall. It's like, we're just going to dump them. And even if we don't get that much back, like, whatever we get is fine. I was kind of surprised that the Warriors were the only team to really do that. And also, they didn't really get that much. Like, the Sixers got a mid first round pick for Thad. And you traded, I mean, I know Thaddeus Young's a better player and has a longer history than Alec Burks and Glenn Robinson III, but like, you packaged both those guys and got three fake seconds, basically.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, interesting. All around. Should we take some questions? I know you reached out for some questions earlier today.
I got a handful here. Ed Rose asks, do you think the report that Elton won't trade Toby or Al is because he believes they can win with them, or because no one wants them and he's defending his signing?
I think for Al, it's nobody wants him and he's defending his player. I think for Harris, I actually would like to keep. Like, it would depend on what they were getting, but I'm totally fine with Tobias Harris. I know he's making a lot of money, but I think he's been really clutch for them and, like, pretty consistent for most
better
of the
as
year.
A four. And better as a four for when Al's not there. Yeah.
Yeah, and he fits well no matter what the team looks like in the next few years, as long as you have Embiid and Simmons.
Right. I think also, you know, if you're a GM and this is not to say, because I would have loved for them to have to trade out. If you're a GM and you sign a guy to a 3-year deal or a 4-year deal or a 5-year deal, whatever it is, and then in the first half of the first season it's kind of janky, and then you just cut bait and trade them at a low value, you're not gonna be a GM for very long. You know, you can make bad deals, and there's something to be said for cutting bait when it's at its, you know, worst, but there's plenty of time to trade Al Horford this offseason too. I mean, it's not like it's a weird thing to say, because like, you're pot committed at this point, but like, that shouldn't be against you, but there's no reason to sell him at as low as possible value, which is what it is right now. If you think, for basically the reason that you got him to was to be a defensive stopper in the playoffs. We're not even at the playoffs yet. So I don't necessarily think it's one or the other. I'm sure people reached out, but they probably just offered low ball stuff because of the contract or Ongender, and there's no one who's like, our one missing piece is Al Horford. But I think he also does believe he can win with both of those guys. Otherwise he wouldn't have signed them.
Yeah. I also think you just have to hope that Horford kind of digs himself out of the hole this year. Like, I don't believe that Al Horford in the last year has become a significantly worse player. Like, everything is way down. Like, he's shooting 45% from the floor, 32% from three, after shooting almost 54% from the floor last year, 36% from three. Like, that doesn't just happen in a year.
What happened to Tobias Harris?
Yeah, but I feel like Tobias Harris is... I feel more confident actually about him getting out of that funk than Horford. But
a full season funk at this point, though.
That's true. I guess you just hope that Horford pulls himself out of it enough to at least be not a bad contract. Because after this year, he has 2 years at 27-ish million, and then that third year, it's partially guaranteed for 14. And you can even stretch him at that point, and it's totally manageable. So I think that after this year and maybe the next year, it becomes a pretty tradable contract. as long as he's not completely washed. And you hope that he is able to pull himself into like adding a little bit of value until you get to that point.
Yes. Dan asked, Neto or IT?
I think IT too,
even though, I mean, essentially what you're getting in IT is a slightly better shooting, but even smaller Trey Burke. Whereas Neto is at least more of a playmaker passer, which I think seems to be why Brett Brown likes him, and I guess Elton Brand likes him as well. But I mean, the ideal scenario would be that neither of those guys would actually play many minutes. Obviously, now it's been working, but that's the ideal situation. Once Richardson's back and, you know, hoping that Richardson and Ben and the other guard types stay healthy, you won't see many Neto minutes anyway, as it is. So probably IT over Neto, but ideally neither, because it doesn't really make, shouldn't really be swinging your games either way.
The thing, too, is it feels like IT is a million years old. He's 30. Like, he turns 31 this week.
Yeah, like, but I mean,
he could still have some basketball left. Like,
oh, for sure. But it seems like, you know, he's one of those guys where, unfortunately for him, there's something he's doing wrong, is that one of the reasons why it seems like he's so much older than he is because he has so many injuries where he missed time and seasons cut short and this and that, where, you know, people forget too, and like, because, you know, he's a small guy and he's been so hurt recently and had all these things and fell off a bit, but he was very good for a good while there, especially for a guy of his size.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, those injuries just, they seem to make your career spread out longer. And also, yeah, he's 30, but like, is he like more like a 34?
I mean, he put up 29 a game 3 years ago.
Like, yeah, right. But, you know,
I know he's not that anymore, but I think he, maybe you get a little bit of that like Derrick Rose thing where he's not going to be what he was before, but he's not having a bad season either. He's shooting 41% from three on a good number of attempts, 12 points a game in 23 minutes. Like, that's better than Neto, right?
Right, but that's, you, if Neto was playing 23 minutes, like, this dude would be a much worse team. You don't need that person doing that, basically. There's a reason he's a buyout candidate, right?
Yes.
Yes. Here's one from Rye underscore Campbell Soup. Do you think Glenn Robinson III and Burks will shoot the three ball percentage-wise better, worse, or the same, since the Sixers are basically cursed in that department?
From logically, you should think it'll be higher just because they're playing with better talent around them, and you have Embiid, who, you know, sucks in some of the defense. You have Simmons, who can find open shooters. I have to say it's going to be lower, though. Like, I don't trust Glenn Robinson to keep up shooting 40% from three. Like, I think they're both having unusually good seasons shooting the ball. So I think it'll be down. But I think that's more just because it's been a little fluky in the other direction, more of like a regression to the mean than a curse.
Yeah. Well, it is a curse, though. It's true. It's really happening. I only have one last question. We'll wrap this one, make it pretty short. Hopefully get it up for you guys before the game tonight. This is from the WizWit. It's Mary Fuck Kill, Bolden, Kylo Quinn, Pell. I'll go first, give you a second to think about it.
Yeah.
You marry Norville Pell, a.k.a. you give him his NBA contract. You fuck Kylo Quinn, a.k.a. you keep him around for a little bit and see what happens about market, and then you get rid of him. And you kill Jonah Bolden, as in you should have traded him last year.
I totally agree with all of that. That's cool. Exactly what I would go with.
All right.
I feel very strongly about marrying Norvell Pell, too.
Yeah, very strongly. This was great. This is a fun time. Going to get this up for you before the Bucks game tonight. If you listen to it after, feel free to react angrily towards us being what seems like quasi-optimistic, although obviously the new acquisitions will not be playing tonight. Will not be playing at least until the next game. Sadly, we have to watch a game on national TV tonight, which will suck with the announcers and their storylines. Watch it on mute if you have to. And we'll talk to you guys very soon.
See ya.